Rain battered down around the group as they huddled together to stave off the cold and wet. A few scabbies had appeared, but the sound and the smell of rain distracted them, and the group were safe for the time being. Cal cuddled tightly between Danny and Roach to keep safe from the rain, but also to shield himself from the eyes of the wandering scabbies. His thinking, if he could not see them, then they could not see him. Fear started to build inside of him as the memories of Atlantis started to replay. The screams, the fire, the dead. Before he could stop himself, he was shaking. Tears started to roll down his cheeks. He didn't know what was really going on. One minute, they were safe in the old museum, and now they were back out into the streets with those monsters. He trusted Danny, and he didn't blame her for him getting bitten. But did she know? Did she know that he didn't think it was her fault? Is that why she's been so down recently? So ill? He didn't know, but he loved his sister so much that he just wanted to be by her side from now on. He cuddled into her leg tighter as she stroked his wet, mousy hair.
Julia, which way is it? We can't stay out here all night.
Yeah, I know. It's this way. Follow me.
They started to move, heading up the Royal Mile towards Castle Hill, passing the burnt shell of the Deacon Brodie pub, which was now destroyed. The inside of the building was black and filled with rubble, debris spewed out onto the wet pavement. Bodies littered the streets, slowly rotting, falling apart in the rain. Abandoned cars were left in the road. Some crashed, the metal twisted and bent. Others lay in a perpetual state of disuse. As they weaved through the eternal metal graveyard, passing the plethora of tourist shops, they noticed the goods spread all over the pavement, as if someone had let off a patriotic Scottish cannon, vomiting tartan, nessies, and fluffy haggis all over the road. As they walked past, Roach picked up a soggy stuffed nessie and handed it to Cal, who took it with a half smile, still clinging onto Danny. Julia turned left and started to head down the hill, carefully stepping as not to slip on the wet stone, water pouring down the hill, creating an angry stream. After nearly an hour of dodging groups of scabbies weaving through the abandoned cars, and Julia having to stop to catch her breath, they reached a blocked road. Cars, military vehicles and buses, ambulances blocked the road, preventing anyone from getting past. To their right, they saw a conference centre. Large, frayed banners hung from the roof, images of famous horror characters from Dracula, Wolfman, and Frankenstein's monster watched over proceedings. The words Edinburgh's annual HorrorCon hung from a banner which stretched along the door. Nature had started to take the building back, with weeds and vines starting to grow up the side of the building. Mould and moss clung to the windows, preventing anyone from looking inside. The group stopped outside before making a decision.
Okay, so what now?
We have to cut through there.
The conference centre? Is it safe?
We had to dispatch a few of the freaks, but they were easy enough.
Doesn't look safe.
Aww. Is Gigantosaurus Rex scared?
Like, that's just mean. No, I'm not scared. Believe me, I've been through a lot worse.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. Tired, but okay. It will be nice to have a rest. I'm just glad to be out of that place.
It was good for what we needed it for, but we have to think about us, the four of us.
Yeah, we should get going. I don't like being out in the open.
One of the large windows next to the front door was smashed, with dried blood and glass covering the floor inside and out. Rotting bodies lay lifeless on the concrete outside and the marble floor inside. Danny covered Cal's eyes to try and stop him from seeing them, but then decided not to. He had seen enough of it and would no doubt see more. There was no point shielding him from it anymore. A large barricade covered the front door. Tables, chairs, signs, fire extinguishers, they blocked the entrance. The group were all now inside, looking around, taking in the scenes. The foyer had bodies scattered all around, some fresher than others. Bullet holes in the walls from stray bullets that missed their mark. Julia stepped forward, taking the lead.
Right, we have to be quiet. Down this corridor is a door out to the car park, but there's a couple of offices we hadn't checked. Just watch your six and get ready.
For what?
Anything.
The group made their way through the building, guns in hand, with torches attached to their chests, bobbing as they walked. The building was silent, except from the odd click here and there. Their footsteps echoed through the darkness. A thin layer of dust hung in the air, illuminated by torchlight. As they made their way through the hall, they passed dust-covered tables with t-shirts, posters, and merchandise from horror movies, forever laying untouched. Roach reached the door first, pulled down the handle and slowly pushed it open. The room was ransacked. Merchandise scattered on the floor, tables tipped over, and in the corner, covered in a blanket of darkness, stood a large, looming statue of Frankenstein's monster, his peering eyes watching over the room, like a royal guard, never moving, keeping perfectly still.
Jesus Christ! That scared the shit out of me.
I love Frankenstein. He's so misunderstood. Everyone was scared of him, but he just wanted to have friends.
You're so weird.
Julia was next to open the door, but as her hand touched the cold metal of the handle and she pulled it down, the door exploded open and three scabbies lunged out, grabbing for Julia. But she managed to get out of the way just in time, stumbling to the ground. Danny bolted forward to help her to her feet, ignoring the trio of dead which were trying to grab for her.
Roach, heads up!
On it. Danny, get down!
Holy shit! Nice one, guys! Sorry about that.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah, we're good. Julia, you good?
Yeah. Think so. We should probably check that room. Might be something useful.
The room again was trashed. Tables overturned, and the carpet was covered in mould and dried blood. The stench of rot was immense and overwhelming. As the group entered, their feet squelched on the carpet and they covered their noses with their arms. Although they were used to the smell of it, it could be overpowering. On the walls of the room were posters for zombie movies. A cardboard cutout of one of the main characters was leaning against the wall. Bloody handprints covered the image.
Oh man, I loved that movie.
Really? Even though you're living that shit right now?
Obviously, don't love it now.
It looks shit. A group of teens spending time at a beach get more than they bargained for when the dead head to the shore for some sun too. Jesus Christ.
Hey, low budget horror is the best. Things like Zombie Sea, Zombie Do and Cannibal Barbecue. Amazing. Sunset of the Dead was one of those films that was so bad it's good.
It's not wrong, you know. Did you know that Easter Massacre was banned in 20 countries? Incredibly shit film, but so good at the same time.
You guys are fucking weird. Come on, we should get moving. This way.
You know, sometimes I wonder what I see in you. No taste.
They made their way back along the corridor, stepping over the dead infected and towards a staircase which led downwards. Their footsteps echoing through the silence, they reached the corridor below, but it was blocked by a wall of the dead.
Shit! Back! Go back!
I thought you said this was clear.
As they reached the bottom of the stairs, the dead turned, their groans filling the hall. The first three zombies grunted loudly as if to tell the rest to follow. As they clawed their way along the walls, their dead fingers breaking as they pulled, bloody handprints smearing along the white walls. Within seconds, they were at the bottom of the stairs, stumbling over the steps but managing to navigate up the stairs.
It was... They must have come in through the door.
What now? Is there another way out?
Fuck, I don't know.
Jesus.
Don't theatres have fire doors in the auditorium? Surely they have to, right?
I'm pretty sure they do. Julia, where's the auditorium?
I don't know. We only went this way.
Shit. Right, well, the entrance must lead.
Yeah, must do.
Guys.
Cal, run.
Guys.
Go.
Guys.
What, Roach?
Whatever we're doing, we have to do it now.
Oh, fuck. Right, come on, this way.
The group turned and burst through a set of double doors and led to a balcony above the auditorium. The auditorium was dark and silent. Rotten bodies lay across some of the chairs and some on the stage. Large banners lined the walls with Edinburgh Horror Con written on them. the silence was broken by the sound of the dead thumping at the door, desperate to get in. It was chilling as the desperate groans joined the cocktail of sound.
Over there! Top right! We need to jump!
Are you mental? We can't jump that!
What do you suggest?
We'll have to climb down.
Wait, what? Oh, I know! I'll just tie some bed sheets together!
Hey, hey, what's
Guys,
with the attitude?
Stop it! We can't use
Danny
that!
Danny pointed at a large spotlight which hung loosely over the edge of the balcony. Its thick black wire curled up like a snake on the floor.
Roach, you're the strongest. You okay to hold the wire while
sure.
we climb down?
Just don't dawdle.
As the team clambered down the wire, which Roach held onto with all of his might, he could hear a group of the dead bang on the door that just came through. The sound was now deafening. His heart started to beat heavily as the sound creeped into his ears. For the first time in over a year, beer plunged its ice-cold fingers into his body. He pleaded with the dead to hurry, and Zero reached the bottom and looked up to see Roach clamber over the balcony, as grateful as a newborn foal, and slid down the wire.
Cal, come here. Right, you stay with me, okay?
He reached the bottom and the group ran through the auditorium towards the fire exit. Just as the door to the auditorium burst open and the dead flooded in, tripping over each other and some of the chairs, the wave of the dead got closer, but the group were able to lunge through the door and into the alleyway behind the building.
Well, that was a shit show.
We got out. That's all that matters. Come on, this way.
As the group were navigating the hellish corridors of the convention centre, Abbott entered one of the changing rooms of Murrayfield Stadium, where Jake lay against a radiator, beaten and bloodied. As Abbott entered, Jake tried to scramble away from him, but his hands were handcuffed, preventing him from moving.
I see you're awake. You've been out for a long time.
That is usually what happens when you get clocked in the back of the head.
No, don't be so dramatic. We are friends, aren't we?
Are you mental?
Look, Jake... I just want to know whether Reborn are hiding. That's all. You tell me where they are, and I let you go. Simple.
No. I tell you, you put a bullet in my head. I don't know how these things go.
All right, boss. Good to go, whenever you are. Any luck?
No. Those old shit is keeping his mouth shut. They must be close by. If I know Pete, he wouldn't send his men that far.
Yeah, well, we'll find him. And when we do...
You bring them to me.
Sir, would it not just be easier for us to kill them away from the community?
No! I want to watch the light leave his eyes. Him and his little bitch. Now get in there and get me a location.
How would you like me to do it?
Be... creative.
Come anywhere near me and I'll fucking kill you.
Give me a location and he won't have to do anything.
Fuck you. I won't talk.
Okay then. Go ahead, George. Have your fun.
Yes, sir.
Abbott left the room, leaving George alone with Jake to do as he wished. George slowly approached, an evil smile plastered on his face. He knelt down in front of Jake and grabbed his chin and laughed before thrusting his head back against the wall, followed by a swift kick from a heavy boot to his stomach. Jake was doubled over, coughing in pain as he struggled to get air into his lungs. George went over to one of the lockers, threw open the door and removed a pair of rusting pliers and returned to the bloodied Jake. He grabbed his handcuffed hands and slowly started to bend back his fingernails one by one. The screams from Jake filled the room and were like music to George, so he continued. An evil grimace cemented onto his face, illuminated in the dull light of the changing room. After several minutes of horrendous torture, Jake slumped to the ground unconscious, his breathing low and staggered. George tossed the bloodied pliers onto the floor and left the room, leaving Jake's broken body hanging from the radiator, bloodied, bruised, and nearly alive. George stepped out of the room and into the brisk evening air, the moonlight barely peeking through the clouds. His friend and companion Lily was leaning against the wall next to the door, picking dirt out from under her fingernails with a long blade. She had long, dirty blonde hair tied tightly into a long ponytail that stretched the length of her back, two strands covering her face. Her dark eyes glistened in the dull moonlight as she looked up at George as he approached. She gave a half smile before speaking.
What did he say? Any luck?
Yeah. After I moved a few fingernails, he was singing like a canary.
Really? Where are they?
Somewhere on the Royal Mile. He wasn't very specific, but figure we head in that general direction. I'm sure we'll find something.
Maybe we should wait for them. Get the drop on them before they have the chance to get the drop on us.
No. We can't risk a full-blown attack. We'll take a group of guys and we'll go tonight.
What does he want with them anyway?
God knows. As soon as the guy mentioned this Kirkman, when Abbott was interrogating him, he was like a dog with a bone. You'd think after a year he would have moved on. Mm. Apparently not.
He must have his reasons. I'll go get everything ready. I'll meet by the bus in 10.
Yeah, sounds good.
The pair gathered their belongings and opened one of the doors which led out of the stadium and made their way to a parked minibus which took up one of the many free parking spaces in the large car park. The minibus had been modified for the apocalypse. Sheets of corrugated metal ran the length of the vehicle and barbed wire was wrapped around the top of the bus. A large sheet of metal had been placed on the front of the vehicle with three large metal poles sharpened to a point, stuck to the front grille. Crudely painted in white paint on the side of the bus was the word Carnage. George jumped into the driver's seat and the lights which surrounded the bus exploded to life, expelling any darkness of the car park. The engine roared to life and the vehicle began to roll through the streets of the dead city, looking for Pete and Danny. The Fallen, an Eerie Earth production. Written, directed, and edited by Kieran Begg. Starring Megan Chase as Danny Cunningham, Beth Eltringham as Julia, Andrew Lodge as Roach, Saxon Davids as Pete Kirkman, Ben James as George, Dorian Todd as Jake, Rick Oldroyd as Abbott, and Nicole Zivilich as Lily. Music by Peter Wyszynski, and the Fallen theme by Ross Budgens. For more information on The Fallen, head over to eerieearth.com. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye for now.